This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Let's face it, for most mortals born in the 16th century, we're not going to hoist a tankard in honor of their 440th birthday. But for William Shakespeare, born 440 years ago today, it said, we'll do one better. We'll play a song.
Hold thy peace, and I prithee hold thy peace.
Hold thy peace, thou knave.
That is from the CD that accompanies Ross Duffin's new book, Shakespeare's Songbook. It's Hold Thy Peace from Twelfth Night, performed by Paul Elliott, William Hite, and Aaron Sheehan. Professor Duffin has assembled the words of songs from Shakespeare's plays and the music. If not the authentic music, then certainly plausible music. Ross Duffin, who teaches at Case Western Reserve University, joins us from Cleveland. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Robert.
We don't think of Shakespeare as the Elizabethan Cole Porter, so you should explain first, how did he typically use songs in his plays?
Well, one way is by inserting featured songs that we recognize from the First Folio and the other early texts as set off in italic text from the rest of the play script. Another way is just simply to insert a line from a song, a couple of lines from a song, just as part of the dialogue.
And do we know that Hold Thy Peace, as we just heard it performed, that round is pretty much how it was sung when Twelfth Night was performed in Shakespeare's day?
Well, Hold Thy Peace is an interesting case because it happens that there are actually three early settings of Hold Thy Peace from Shakespeare's day. So that's one of the three. That's one from the Ravenscroft collection.
Now, you remark in the prologue to your book that theatergoers today might go to a contemporary play and hear a phrase in the dialogue, say, stormy weather, or someone says, hey Jude, or you can get anything you want. And it's assumed that everyone in the theater knows that's a reference to a lyric. In Shakespeare's day, people likewise would hear phrases that would refer to songs they all knew.
Absolutely. I realized that that's what was going on in his plays about 10 years ago when I noticed that one of the famous ballad tune titles was cited in one of the plays. It's actually in Winter's Tale. Shakespeare uses a ballad tune title as the name of a character, and he says, what's the news, Rogero? And I thought, well, that's really strange. Why would he use that name for a character? And then I read on in the script, and it said, oh, nothing but bonfires, the king's daughter has found such a deal of wonders broken out that ballad makers should not be able to express it. And I realized that Shakespeare was drawing attention to the fact that Rogero was a ballad tune, and then ultimately I found out that there was a ballad set to that tune that had a plot that paralleled The Winter's Tale, and I realized that the audience would get the joke.
But how common is it that we really know what the tunes were that people were singing in Shakespeare's day, or how more common is it that we've lost the music?
Well, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but probably half the tunes are known and connected to tune titles so that we are able to figure out what tune is intended by the title and attach a set of lyrics to a tune. In other cases, we know that the repertoire of ballads was fluid and that they would set new ballads to tunes that they knew. And so for the whole broadside repertory, ballads would be published on a single sheet, and instead of printing any kind of music, they'd just say to the tune of. Or sometimes there wouldn't be any tune given, and the performer would be expected to fit it to the tune that worked the best.
Let's play a song now in which you're pretty confident that the music actually was the music that was used way back in Shakespeare's day. This is It Was a Lover and His Lass from As You Like It, which includes the refrain that I think the Marx Brothers got so much mileage out of, hey, nonny, hey, nonny, hey, nonny, no, or whatever. Well, that's Ellen Hargis singing, and she's a lot better than Groucho Marx. Tell us a little bit about how we know the music from It Was a Lover and His Lass.
Well, it exists not only in the play, but in a a printed collection of songs by Thomas Morley. It's really the only set song from Shakespeare's plays that was printed during Shakespearean period, and so it's one that we very definitely think was used in the original production.
Well, now let's go to one that required a little bit more detective work on your part. This is the song Black Spirits. Is it from Macbeth?
It's from Macbeth.
And that was performed on the CD that accompanies your book by Ellen Hargis, Judith Malafronte, and Custer LaRue. Well, what is that melody? Where does that one come from?
That's a ballad tune called Packington's Pound. And interesting about that particular song is that the only thing it says in the play script is song, black spirits, etc. And so where do we find this black spirit song? Well, that song, in fact, comes from a manuscript version of Thomas Middleton's play, The Witch. We're not exactly sure which came first, the witch or Macbeth, and what sort of sharing went on between them. But it seems plausible that here's a black spirit song, and here's a version of it in Middleton's play. And so that's the text that I used, but it didn't have any music, so I set it to Packington's Pound, which is a tune that works particularly well.
Ross Duffin, before we go, we should just say this is regarded as Shakespeare's birthday. It's also regarded as the day on which he died. But we don't really know for a fact in either case. Is that right?
That's right. He was baptized on April 26, 1564, and buried on April 25, 1616. So tradition has it that allowing for a time between birth and death, April 23rd is a likely day for both.
Well, before I let you go, let's leave with one favorite of yours that you might introduce for us that's on the CD accompanying Shakespeare's songbook.
Well, the one I had in mind was Come Away Death, which is also from Twelfth Night. It's a song sung by Festa. This is one that I set to a tune called King Solomon, which is also used for the song There Dwelt a Man in Babylon. And that is a song that gets cited in a couple of Shakespearean plays as well. So it's a tune that was very well known.
Professor Duffin, thank you very much for talking with us. And we'll listen now to Come Away, Come Away. Thanks for talking with us about your book, Shakespeare's Songbook.
Thanks, Robert. It's been a pleasure.